But let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're dealing with the Christian's warfare. There's nothing more serious that we can deal with than this subject of the warfare that we're involved in. Saints, it's only a little bit longer, and we're going to look in the face of Jesus Christ a little bit longer, and the battle is over. A little bit longer, and we'll never face the devil again. A little bit longer, and we'll never be tempted again. We shall be beyond temptation. Doesn't matter how holy a man is, how sanctified, how pure his heart is, this side of eternity, no man, no woman is beyond temptation. No man, no woman, I don't care how saintly they are, how anointed of God they are not outside the reach of Satan. Some of the most godly men and women that we read of in the Bible were actually the very target of hell itself. We think of Job. There wasn't a man more perfect in his generation than Job, and yet he became the ultimate focus and target of all Satan's onslaught. I want to tell you, that which most endangers Satan's kingdom, it does become his very target. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 6, and tonight we're dealing with the shield of faith. The shield of faith, part 6 in this series, the shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in yourself. Finally, my brethren, be strong in circumstances. Finally, my brethren, couldn't we go on? And yet, do you know what we do? We think that because all of these things fail us, we look to ourselves, we look to our faith, we even look to our own faith. Faith and faith will fail you. Be assured of it. But what does he say? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Is your strength tonight, as we gather round his word? Can I ask you tonight, is all of your strength this week, past, present and future, is your strength in the Lord?
Amen. Yes.
Are you strong in the Lord? Are you drawing your strength, both past and future, as you look forward into this week? Are you trusting in the strength of the Lord, or in your own strength? Does your strength come from yourself and your ability, or does it come from the Lord? You see, Paul is very clear here. He says, finally, my brethren, and we must have this in its right priority. Don't talk about faith. Don't talk about truth. Don't talk about righteousness if you're not putting your confidence in the power and the strength of the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. That's the reason, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Another reason, and having done all to stand. Who are those who stand? Those who've taken the armor of God to them. It is no secret. It is no mystery. It isn't something hidden of why one man falls and another man stands. It is no mystery, saints. Do you know, those who stand have simply taken the armor of God to themselves. They made full provision of the righteousness of Christ. They've made sure that they're girded around by the truth of God. They've taken the armor of God to themselves. It isn't a mystery. Those who fail to stand, who fall in an evil day, who turn aside or who lose confidence in God, it's because they didn't put the armor of God on. He goes further, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Father, we just pray again tonight. Lord God, we don't want our confidence to be in us. That would be vain. Lord God, our trust and our hope isn't in each other. My God, it isn't in this church. Our confidence is in the Lord. Our strength is in the Lord, in His power, in His might. Lord God, we want to put on the full armor of God tonight. Lord God, we know with this armor we can defeat hell. In this city we can contend against the gates of hell. That the devil himself, Lord God, cannot move us from standing steadfastly. Lord God, if we simply take full provision of all that you've given unto us, we love you tonight. Oh God, we love the saints tonight. I'm so glad for the church of God. I'm so glad for brothers and sisters who love you, who believe in you, who believe your word, who have a confidence in your word, who pray for one another. Lord God, I'm so glad, Lord God, that we can gather as the body of Christ together, growing together into the likeness of your Son. We love you tonight. We pray, oh God, cover us in the blood, shelter us, hide us, my God, help us, Lord God, to have all our faith, all our confidence, and have a full persuasion in you tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. The shield of faith, verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We have already dealt with in this armor. We said there's six parts to the armor. We've dealt with three. We're continuing to deal with another three. We've already dealt with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel, the preparation of the gospel. The first three that we've already dealt with are absolutely fundamental things. You cannot be saved without that belt of truth. You cannot be saved without the breastplate of righteousness. You are not saved without the shoes of the preparation of the gospel. All those are absolutely fundamental to being born again and being a Christian. If you're a Christian, you do have a belt of truth. If you're a Christian, you do have a breastplate of righteousness. If you're a Christian, you do have the shoes of the gospel on your feet. Otherwise, you would not be walking, standing, able to believe in God. But the next three, although absolutely vital, they are not fundamental to the born-again experience. Yet they are absolutely vital and depend on the first three. We are going to deal now with the shield, the helmet, and the sword. Without these, you will be vitally wounded. You will, saints. You can't make it through the Christian life. They're absolutely vital. And again, all of these armament flow one into the other. Without the belt of truth, we wouldn't have a breastplate of righteousness. Without the breastplate of righteousness, our feet wouldn't be shod with the gospel. But let me go one step further tonight. That without all of those things, there'd be no point in having a shield of faith. What point is there having a faith when it's not based in truth? And there's no righteousness to gird you around. You could have faith in God knowing He's a holy God, but you're unrighteous. What about your sins? What about your imperfection? What about your failure? If you didn't have a breastplate of righteousness, what good is faith in God? Doesn't James even say about the demons? He says they have faith, they believe in God, they even tremble at God. Yet what good is it to them? That isn't a faith that saves them, or makes them righteous, or makes them just, or makes them to stand. It is a dead faith. It's an intellectual faith. But it's not a faith that changes them, or does anything for them. It is a faith that cannot help them. And too many people in the church have a faith that does not help them, does not change them, and does not conform them to the image of Christ. But we're not talking about a dead faith. We're talking about a living, vital faith that can give you victory over hell tonight. We're talking about a faith that will overcome the attacks of the enemy. We're talking about a faith that will carry you through temptations. We're talking about a faith that when the devil assaults your mind, this faith will give you the victory. This faith will make you to stand against him. This faith will make you resist him. This faith will make the devil turn his tail and run. I tell you, it's a real faith, saints. We're talking about a living, vital confidence in God. Not faith in you, not faith in your own faith, not faith in your abilities, not faith in any of that. We're talking about a faith that's based in God and it has an effect in our Christian walk. Notice here again in verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Notice who this battle is against. It says that it expands here what the warfare is that we're involved with. We are going to face the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's the warfare you're involved with. And remember, each element here, we're dealing with faith here tonight. Not just general faith, not faith to get you saved, or faith to get you through some troubles. This is faith to meet the real devil. That's the context of the shield of faith. He's speaking about faith in the battle, faith in the warfare, faith when you have to face the devil, faith when you face real temptations, faith when you're going to have fiery darts fired at you. I want to tell you have had fiery darts fired at you. You are having fiery darts fired at you. You will have fiery darts fired at you. There are seasons, there's an interesting scripture in the Old Testament, and it says, when they went down to draw forth water out of the well, that the archers fired arrows at them. Do you see what the enemy does? At the very time when you go down to find sustenance, to be refreshed in your heart, the enemy is waiting. You know why? He knows the Bible study is going to encourage you. He knows the prayer meeting is going to encourage you. He knows fellowship together, it's going to lift your spirit. So he is always going to stand to try and hinder you in those things. He knows the preaching of the word will affect you. He knows just praying with the saints. You know, there's something wonderful in here. Your brother praying, isn't there?
Yes.
Well, if I'm the enemy, I'm going to be sitting there going, this well provides water. This meeting, these meetings, this prayer meeting, I'm just going to fix myself here. And if I can hinder them every time they come to these things, they may grow weary. And then I've got them. You see, saints, we are in a very real battle. Notice who the battle is against here in this verse. He talks of the fiery darts of the wicked. Now that word wicked in the Greek literally means wicked one. It's the word for hurtful or for harmful. But it is a word that actually means not just a thing but a person. Not just something hurtful but somebody hurtful. Not just something wicked but a wicked person. And that's what he's speaking about here. Notice what it says. It uses the very same word in Matthew 13. When Jesus is teaching about the parable of the ground, he uses this Greek word wicked. And he uses it concerning the wicked one. Notice in verse 19, when anyone heareth the words of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. It's all one word. The same word that's used in Ephesians 6:16 concerning the fiery darts of the wicked or the wicked one. So we see here that who is it who fires these fiery darts? It's the wicked one. It's the devil. It's the serpent. It's the evil one. He's the dragon. That's who your enemy is. That's who your adversary is. That's what our warfare is. It's with a wicked one. And I want to tell you, the devil hasn't come to do you any good. Isn't it true? We've said many times, the devil's a good devil. He's not good, but he's a good devil. He's very good at what he does. He knows what he's meant to do. He is wicked. He comes to hurt the saints. He comes to hinder the saints. He comes to harm the saints. I want you to waken up tonight. I want you to realize the reality of this warfare. Because if we realize, we're going to see how precious our faith in God is. Real biblical faith, God-given faith, is enough to stand against them. But I want to tell you, without that faith, the devil would destroy you. The devil would torment you. The devil would destroy your life. The devil would destroy this church. Apart from faith in God, the devil would do untold damage in your life, in your family, in your future. Every step that you take, do you realize, if he had his way and freedom to do it, he would have killed you on the way here in your car. Do you realize he would have had an almighty onslaught all week long on you, every day, every moment, every hour. But you know what? He's a devil on a leash.
Yes.
He is restrained.
Amen.
And the Bible teaches me that God will not allow him to do more than what you're able to stand against. So wherever your faith, whether it's a strong faith, whether it's a very weak faith, That faith is enough to contend with the evil one, because God won't allow any more than that. I'm glad to see that in John 17:15, this Christ praying to the Father for us, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Wouldn't that be the easiest way? Mm-hmm. Oh Lord, get me out of this trial.
Amen.
Oh, wouldn't it be good if I could just get raptured tonight, caught up to heaven, be with them, no more troubles, no more heartaches, no more sandpaper, no more testing or trial of my faith. Do you know your faith has to be tried? It's not real faith unless it's tried. Do you like the trials? No. Do you want to go through the fiery trials that bring forth your faith as gold, that strengthen it, that ground it, that establish it? Who here? Do you want to volunteer tonight? Send me a trial, Lord. Send me trouble. Send me some fiery darts that I might exercise my muscles. None of us pray like that. Only met one man over the years pray. He was in a prayer meeting. We were out evangelizing in a certain town. And there was trouble. And he gets to pray and saying, Lord, send us persecution. Lord, send us trouble. Send us men who are going to persecute us. He didn't get many amens. I didn't amen him. You know what? Me and one of my friends, we burst out laughing. Had to go next door and say, that somebody stop him. Somebody stop that man from praying. We're going to have a rat tomorrow when we go out evangelizing. Just don't pray that way. That's what we said to him. Saints, it wasn't out of fear. It was just, you don't need to pray those things. The trials come. The fiery darts are going to be aimed for you. What are these fiery darts? Remember those devices we said? The devices of Satan. They are carefully computed, thought out attacks on your life. That's what these fiery darts are. What are darts? What are arrows? Notice in this verse it says, the fiery darts of the wicked. We've dealt before that it's a hand-to-hand combat with the devil. Toe-to-toe, as we've said numbers of times. Face-to-face, it's a wrestle match. But notice in this verse it's different. It's not a face-to-face combat in this verse. It's not a toe-to-toe combat in this verse. What is it? It's fiery darts let loose from a distance. Earlier in this chapter we read that it is a wrestling match, hand to hand. But in this verse, here's another strategy of the devil. You don't see him, you don't feel him, you don't feel his breath down your neck. He's standing at a great distance from you. He's the wicked one. He's standing hidden from view. You can't even see him. You're not conscious of him. And yet here come fiery darts. And you go, where did this arrow come from? You feel it fly past your head. You hear it, the sound of it whizzing through the air. But you do not see the devil. Do you realize many things from the devil? You don't discern they're from the devil. All you see is the arrow hit the ground behind you. Mm-hmm. But who fired it? Where did it come from? Where did it originate with? We're talking about a different type of warfare here. The other warfare is probably better because you know it's your enemy. You know it's the devil. Do you know the warfare Job was in? Do you know the book of Job? Yeah. All through it, he doesn't know it's God. All through, he doesn't realize that it's God allowing the devil. It's not God testing him. It's not God who killed his children. It's not God who destroyed his health. It wasn't God. But he didn't realize that it was the devil. Do you know he thought it was God? He couldn't see the devil. It wasn't that hand-to-hand combat where Job goes, I know this is the devil. The devil has killed my children all in one day. The devil has taken my health away. The devil is playing games with me. The devil has come to assault me. The devil is challenging that I'm sincere and genuine. The devil doesn't believe that I can stand in this warfare. It's not that type of warfare. Do you know this, the warfare of this verse? Your enemy is hidden. Your enemy is at a distance. And he's firing at you. Notice what he's firing. He's firing fiery darts or arrows. They come in at great speed from great distance. And you never are sure when they're going to come. Notice this. It says they're missiles. They're often unexpected. You don't see the enemy coming and you prepare. Isn't that good to prepare for some trials? You can see something coming down the road. Okay, let's get ready. But we are taught about a warfare that suddenly comes in on you. You never expected it. You get blindsided. Something happens to you where you get hurt, or something happens, or something comes to you. I just didn't expect it. I just didn't see it coming. Those fiery darts come in suddenly, quickly, and unexpectedly. Sometimes that's the hardest trial. When you're wrestling with the devil, you know it's the devil. He is so real, breathing down your neck. You know what you're facing. It's more dangerous when you don't realize it's the devil. You think it's God. Is this God? Is it the devil? Maybe someone comes to you. Has God sent them or the devil? That's a strange thing to pray, isn't it? Here's the situation. Is it God? If it's God, I don't resist it. I say, Lord, work in me. If it's the devil, I've got to resist him. Now, what is it? What is this thing that I'm going through? You see, that battle at a great distance that suddenly comes upon you can confuse you. It takes you unawares. It startles you in the midst of your life and your walk with God. It could be a single arrow, like a sniper firing a single shot. Do you know we were trained? I was, forgive me for boasting on myself, but I was a bit of a sniper in the army. I was well trained. Give me one bullet, 400 meters, and I'll stop whatever vehicle you're driving. No problem. We used to do shooting. Shooting would run 100 meters, lie down. You've got 10 minutes to fire 10 shots. That's what a sniper is. That one arrow, that one bullet can stop an army. Do you realize in the Second World War, a sniper in the right place, hidden, unnoticed, tucked away, can stop a whole army. A whole advancing army can be stopped with one sniper. I want to tell you, this is deadly what we're dealing with. One arrow can have a detrimental effect on our Christian lives. And that's what Paul is dealing here. A hidden enemy firing his deadly arrows. It could be one arrow or it could be a hail of arrows. Have you ever seen those films of olden days where you see a barrage of arrows come in? Anything under that, it's going to die. A whole army could be stopped as a hail, almost falling like rain, falls on the enemy. Thousands of arrows. What a deadly weapon that was. Do you realize arrows in the days of Paul were one of the most sophisticated, simple, yet deadly weapons? They could bring an army to a standstill. You weren't up close. You could stand at a distance and fire at them. That's what the devil likes to do. If he gets in close to you, you know it's him, you'll resist him. So he stands at a distance, in hiding, covering his tracks, and he wants to fire arrows at you. But you've got to discern what's from the enemy. Do you know, when Job's children died, that wasn't God. God doesn't do that. When the Satan came and took the health of Job, that wasn't God. But Job didn't know it. He couldn't fully discern. But that was all part of the test. Arrows are a very deadly thing. Notice in Genesis 49:22 it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. This is a prophecy about young Joseph. This young man of God who walked with God and was dedicated to God. But this is how God looks at Joseph. This is a spiritual perspective on the life of Joseph. Not how man looks at it. Not how the devil looks at it. But how God looks at Joseph and his life and what his brothers done to him. See, his brothers could have said he's proud. He's arrogant. He's all sorts of things. But they are very wrong. Look at God's perspective. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well. Beautiful picture of Joseph, isn't it? Here he is, a tree spiritually. He's a tree growing by a well, whose branches run over the wall. You can't hold him back. I tell you, his branches are over the wall, growing down the street. That's a spiritual picture of Joseph. But notice the next verse. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. We're taught spiritually about things that happened spiritually in the life of Joseph. Who are the archers firing arrows at Joseph? Who are these archers that would fire deadly arrows at this young godly man who just wants to walk with God? Who are the archers? It was his brothers. That's who it is. They hated him. Those are the arrows. What were the arrows? They hated him. Here come arrows from his own brothers in his own home, hating him, accusing him. When you read the story of Joseph and his brothers, we realize that hatred they had for him. We read that they conspired against him. They grew jealous of him. They were angry at him. They even wanted to murder him. They got so angry with him. Finally, they sold him as a prisoner. That's what they done to him. Look at the arrows coming in on his spiritual life. What are they doing to me? They're leaving me here in a pit. My own brothers have left me in a pit with no water. Do you know what's happening? The devil is firing a fiery arrow. He better have his faith in place. When you're down in that pit and they're rejecting you and hating you and mocking you and conspiring against you, only one way you're going to make it through this. Faith in God. Your confidence in God. A full persuasion. I don't understand what's going on. Job, how are you going to come through? I'm going to trust the Lord. I can't trust myself. I can't trust my perception. I don't know everything that's going on. I don't know where this is, the devil, God, man, or anything else. But this one thing I know, God's going to bring me through. Saints, I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? I'm persuaded.
Yes. Amen.
For I know who I believed in. I do know, saints. He is a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a faithful God. He's a merciful God. He's a strong God. He's an almighty God. That's where my faith is tonight, saints. I don't know everything that's going to happen around the corner. I can't assure you that you won't go bankrupt. I can't assure you that something won't happen health-wise. I can't assure you that the one you love most won't die. I can't assure you of these things. What I can assure you of, if you put your faith in God, you'll come through everything. And you'll be standing after it all. And you'll be standing with your faith refined as gold after it's all said and done. You see, that's what happened to Joseph. These arrows and these archers are spiritual things going on in their life. They are people. But the arrows don't come from people. They come from the devil. Don't you dare think you're fighting with men. You're not. You're not fighting with family. The devil hides behind family, or a boss, or somebody in life, or a Christian. And if you're not careful, that fiery dart can hurt you like a deadly wound would physically, like an arrow going into your body. So that hatred, that bitterness, those lies could so hurt you that it affects you. I have come across Christians and they'll say, I'll never trust again. Do you know what I've told them in those times? I'll say, then God will never use you again. You've been so hurt that you'll never trust again. Well, you put yourself in a prison. Joseph was in a prison. He was a free man. Why? His heart was free. There's nobody I haven't forgiven. My heart is absolutely free. I don't have anything against any individual. I'm a free man. But tonight, if you have anything in your heart, you're bound. You're bound. You could walk free, but you're bound in your heart. Look at 1 Samuel 31 and 3. It talks again of King Saul. And we know King Saul started well, but he finished bad. Saul in the New Testament started bad, but he finished good. I hope we all finish good. Doesn't matter if you started bad in life. It's how you finish this race. And we want to finish good. But look at Saul. It says, and this is his end days, and the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers, notice this, hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. That's how Saul died. Do you know in the next verse, it talks about his shield bearer being there. In those ancient days, they had shield bearers, men who stood with them in the fight to carry the shield to defend them. And he actually asked the shield bearer, kill me. I don't want the Philistines to kill me. I've received a deadly wound from the Philistines. I'm going to die. Here's a man who turned to witchcraft. Here's a man who compromised the word of God. Here's a man who tried to pin young David to a wall with his spear. Why? He's filled with jealousy, envy, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, insecurity. Here's Saul filled, dominated with all of these things. He wouldn't be if he kept his shield of faith. If he would have had faith in God, he couldn't have been insecure. He couldn't have been jealous of David. He couldn't have wanted to kill David. If his faith was in God. But you know what? Saul lost it all. He lost the mercy of God. He lost the anointing of God. He lost the blessing of God. He lost the friendship of God. Notice what it says in 2 Samuel 1:21, and this is young David, King David, speaking about Saul. He says, "The shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil." What an end, saints of God. Here was a man, taller in stature than any, anointed to be the king of Israel, chosen by God, anointed by Samuel the prophet, over God's people. And here he is. David said, how did he finish his days? It was like a shield was cast away vilely. Where was the shield? It was cast away. That's why he died at the hands of the archers. Saints, you need the shield of faith. You do need the shield of faith. None of us stand a chance against these fiery darts. It's faith in God will preserve us. And it actually says that Saul, it was as if he'd never been anointed of God, but he had been. Saints, Saul had been anointed of God to be the king of Israel. God anointed him. The Spirit of God came on him. He prophesied. And here, at the end of his days, the Bible says it's as if he'd never, at any time, ever been anointed of God. And his shield of faith is cast away. Do you know what it says in Hebrews? If you continue in the faith, grounded, made firm, established, with your trust in him, never let the devil con you out of confidence in God and out of a confidence in the Bible. The devil is cunning. He comes to steal the word. He comes to undermine faith. How do you undermine faith in God? Attack the word of God. Place questions over the word of God. That's why we need that belt of truth on before we stand with the shield and faith. What is your faith in? What is your faith in tonight? It can't just be a vague faith in God. You've got to know who it is you believe in. You've got to know who he is and what he says and how he acts. You've got to know that, saints. We read also in 2 Chronicles 18 concerning Jehoshaphat, a good king, a righteous king, a godly king, joining himself to Ahab, the most wicked king in Israel. Here is a godly king who loves the Lord, joined with Ahab, a wicked man. It's an ecumenical union. Of course, Ahab says, I believe in God. I've got faith in God. I know who God is. But that faith was a hypocritical faith. He was a wicked man. It was a counterfeit faith. It was an intellectual faith. But here's ecumenical unity. And we see it all across the church. Everybody say, we believe God. But it's a mixture. But notice in verse 33 how Ahab dies. Do you know what Ahab done in this battle, this war? He disguised himself. He told Jehoshaphat, now you put on your royal robes. Look like a king. And I'll dress like a lesser. How cunning. Would you go to battle with a man like that? That cunning. That's what you get in that ecumenical confusion. They're twisters, connivers, and they don't care anything about you. Neither did Ahab care about Jehoshaphat. If Jehoshaphat gets hit in the battle, as long as I'm okay, that's all that matters. But notice how Ahab died. It says a certain man drew a bow at a venture or at a distance and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harness. And that evening he dies as darkness, as night comes on. Notice it was an archer at a great distance hit him. Ahab, where was your faith? You heard Elijah preach. You heard men of God preach. You knew prophets of God. There's once when God was going to judge you and destroy your life. You humbled yourself and God says, okay, I won't do it. You never learned anything, Ahab. But here's the end of Ahab. He knew of the true God. He knew true prophets. But yet he died without faith in God. The archers got him. We're not dealing with just stories here, saints. We're dealing with things that God's given us with spiritual value. Let us come to the New Testament here. It says in John 13:2, concerning Judas. And it says, and supper being ended. Now notice here, there's something that was just clicking to me. You know, as I study the Bible over the years, things I've wondered about 10 years, suddenly they drop into place. Tonight with this verse, I don't want to go into it, but here he says, and supper being ended, that was the meal, the Passover. They haven't had the Lord's table yet. Judas did not take of the Lord's table. He went out into darkness before they broke bread. But they had the supper. They had the meal. Then he went out. And if you read all of those accounts, it seems as if he sat there and had communion. He didn't have communion. He went out before. It was after supper, but before the actual breaking of bread. But notice here what it says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him or to betray Christ. This word put into or put is a very interesting word. It's the word balo. The word for these fiery darts is the word belos. From this we get the word balo. And what it literally means is to throw violently and intensely. Here we read of the devil, Satan, throwing or putting into the heart of Judas betrayal. What are these fiery darts? The devil fired fiery darts violently, vigorously at Judas. And you know what? He had no defense, no faith in God. Here's a man taken of the money. He was the secretary for the 12. What did Christ do? He gave him the money back. Do you think Christ was stupid? Who does he give the money back to? Judas. Everybody thinks he's a financial wizard. Here's a woman coming in breaking the bottle of oil. What does Judas say? Here, master, look, this is terrible. This shouldn't be done. Be careful how you judge. Be careful what you hear others judging. Here, Judas sounds a great man, doesn't he? Do you know what? Peter thought he was great. John thought he was great. Simon the Zealot thought he was great. They're sitting listening. Here's Christ, the woman breaking oil, very precious, worth a lot of money. And Judas is saying, Master, this could have been sold and given to the poor. I mean, do we not care about the poor in this church? Do you not care about the people? Look at you. You're pouring all this costly oil on his feet. Sure, could you not wash his feet? Does the master really want that? Do you see the motives? Here is a man. He had no real faith. Any faith he lost along the way. He thought this is going to be king of the Jews. We're going to see a great revival. We're going to see a great kingdom. Little did he realize it was going to lead to the cross. It's funny how men have faith when they think everything is good or it's going to mean blessing. But what about when your faith will mean a cross, a Calvary, a Gethsemane? What about if it means being handed over to wicked men? What if it means being hurt? What if it means being offended? What if it means being lied about? Does your faith really stand at that hour? Or is it only a faith of blessing? Give me the miracles. Give me the blessing. Oh, I've got faith in God. Who wouldn't? Do you know in the beginning of John, it says that they believed on him when they seen the miracles. Many. Multitudes, they saw the miracles. Who wouldn't believe in a Jesus that healed the sick? If you seen a Jesus heal blind eyes, would you believe? And yet it says in John 2, but he did not commit himself to him because he knew what was in their hearts. He knew. But you know, later in that chapter, it says, but his disciples, when they heard the word, they believed on him. Notice, his disciples, when they heard the word. Then there's all this other bunch. We believe when we see the miracles. Wasn't because of the word. It's not a faith that's going to carry them through the troubles and the heartaches and the things that you don't understand. And when you're being assaulted by fiery arrows, what about your faith then? It's in the hard times, the fiery trials, when arrows are hailing around your ears. Now we'll find out what your faith is. Is it a faith that will stand against the enemy? Is it a faith that will bring you through? Or is it a faith that you cast aside and said, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for blessing. I signed up for all manners of good things. Nobody told me about this. It's the slough of despond. Remember in John Bunyan's You know, he's only, two of them are going off happy. Tell me more out of that book. Gold streets, a big city, lots of blessings, crowns, wonderful. Let him fall in the slough of despond. What happens? You didn't tell me about this, I'm going home. And you don't understand. Go, but I thought he believed like me. But I thought he wanted these things. No, he wanted the blessings. It wasn't faith in God. It was actually a desire for blessings. It wasn't faith. It was an intellectual faith. I'll believe it while the going is good. When the going gets tough, suddenly that so-called faith dissipates. Judas had no protection against the fiery darts of the devil. What was the fiery darts? Betray Christ. Sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Benefit out of the sale of Christ. Think about yourself. Buy a little house. Just betray Christ. You know Christ. You know him. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. I hope that never happens with us. Never. Terrible thing. It doesn't have to happen. But what Judas did, said, huh, the Messiah. I've seen him do the miracles. I've seen, none of that stopped him betraying Christ. He saw real miracles. He saw the feeding of the multitudes. He saw dead people raised up. Judas saw it. Never stopped them betraying Christ, did it? Only real faith will stop that. But you know what? He was wide open. One minute he'll go with the flow, next minute he'll go with the devil. One minute he'll follow Christ, the next minute he'll follow whoever. Here is a fiery dart that hit him in the heart. Notice the devil put it into the heart. What do you have with you to stop things being put in your heart from the devil? Faith. Do you realize faith will keep betrayal out of your heart? I mean real faith in God. An absolute persuasion that what God says is true. An absolute confidence in who God is. An absolute assurance that He is my Savior. That will keep betrayal out of your heart. That will keep many things out of your heart. It will keep your heart free. It will, saints of God. Notice in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. And Peter confronting them, and he says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart? It wasn't just them. It wasn't their own thoughts. It wasn't their other people. Husband couldn't blame wife, and wife couldn't blame husband. It was Satan who filled the heart of Ananias to lie to Peter and the church that we sold the ground. All of it. And here's all of the money. Who made him lie like that? It was the devil. The devil actually put it in his heart. Do you know why? He couldn't. He didn't have the faith to keep it out. He didn't have the faith to keep it out. Satan could fill. I tell you, a man who has his heart filled by the devil is not born again. How could you be? I've heard many people say, this couple were born again, but they just died without a reward. Oh no. If the devil can fill your heart, there's something seriously wrong. Is your heart filled with what God puts in it? Is it filled with the Word of God? Is it filled with desires for Him? Is it filled with longings for Him? Or is it filled with what the devil gives? Who's pouring into your heart? Who's pouring into your mind, saints? You need to guard your mind and your heart. Whatever goes in the mind will go into the heart. You need to guard that mind. We'll deal with that next week. But you need to guard this heart as well. And the shield of faith will keep all of this out. Every lie, every betrayal, every counterfeit, every game plan, all the pretense, it'll keep it out. Now notice in this verse what it says here. Let's look at it before we close here. He says, above all, take in the shield of faith. Above all. And it doesn't mean the shield of faith is more important than what we've dealt with, because it's not. The shield of faith is not more important than the breastplate of righteousness or the belt of truth. It's not. What does he mean by above all? It literally means in front of, or to place over. What it actually means is this shield is to be the covering of everything else. Do you realize when you use this shield, you won't even need to use your breastplate of righteousness? An arrow that gets stopped with faith, it won't have to contend with righteousness. Because we don't lift up and take up our shield of faith, we then are left with an issue of, we have to wrestle over issues of condemnation or guilt and say, I know I'm righteous. We run to the righteousness of Christ. Your faith should have dealt with that. Mm-hmm. You should have stopped it coming in that close. But notice it says, above all, taken the shield of faith. Above all, put it out at the front. That's what he's literally saying. Above all, take the shield of faith. Above all, put it out there in front of everything. Every situation of life, every circumstance. Make sure your faith is at the foremost. I believe in him. I've got confidence in God. I'm mixing the word of God with faith in everything. Every situation, make sure your faith in God is at the forefront. Put it out there, beyond everything else. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Notice he says, take the shield of faith. Take it up, take it onto you. Raise it up, lift it up. You do have faith tonight, saints. You've got such a faith that will extinguish every arrow and attack of the devil. You can break the attack of the enemy tonight. I don't know what's against you tonight, but you can break that attack. You can cause the devil to turn. You can push back. Do you know what it says in Isaiah? That God will be strength to them who turn the battle against the enemy. Isn't that a good promise? So if you stand there and say, I've had enough of this, I'm taking the battle to the devil, I'm resisting him, God says, I'm going to strengthen you. That's what Isaiah says. He says, you want to take the battle to the enemy? You're tired of being knocked around, pushed around, fired up? You say, I will resist the enemy, then I will strengthen you to do it. God delights in us turning the battle against our enemies. Don't just be a victim, saints. Don't walk on going, I'm condemned, I'm guilty, I don't know if I'm going to make it through. Get up, saints of God. Yes. Get up, saints of God. You're a sorry state when you're walking around like that. Time to say, I've had enough. I'm making my stand. I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. I tell you, we are going to affect someone for the glory of God. We are going to destroy the works of darkness. Saints, we need to take to us the shield of faith. Have faith tonight. I'm not going down, I'm going up. I'm not going to get lost along the track. I've got a God who's going to guide me and lead me. And he says, when you don't know where to go or what to do, he says, you'll hear a still small voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Isn't that a wonderful promise? But I might go to the left or I might go to the right. No, at the point where you're just going to go the wrong direction, he'll speak then and he'll say, no, just keep going straight ahead. Isn't it wonderful, saints? Have faith. Have faith tonight in your God. Take in the shield of faith. Don't be passive. There's no room for passivity in this. The enemy will use your passivity. You want to sit there, he'll kick you around. You just want to let every thought fly through your mind. You want to play games with those arrows, you'll get hurt. You will, saints. He is not playing a game. He is out for your destruction, or at least to hurt you or hinder you in your walk with God. Notice here, it talks about taking the shield of faith. Faith is likened to a shield for the Christian. We're dealing with the Roman army here. This shield was not a small round shield. That's called a buckler in the Bible. If you read the word buckler in the Old Testament, that's a small round shield, very lightweight, for quick fighting battles. But that isn't the shield it's talking about here. The shield we're talking about is that large door-shaped shield the Roman army had. It was large and rectangular. You could stand behind it and hide. It was 4 foot tall, 2.5 foot wide, and it was rounded at the front. It'd give you a full protection. In those days, they actually called it the door, because it was like standing behind the door. You had full protection from the enemy. What a protection, something like that. Standing in front of you, protecting you as you advance against the enemy or have to defend yourself against the enemy. What is the purpose of the shield? Because remember, faith is being likened to a shield here. This shield is faith. It is your faith in God. But we know that true faith isn't our faith. It's a faith of Jesus Christ given unto us. We didn't create it. We don't maintain it. It is real substance. I know he created the universe. I know He created the sun. I know He created all things. That's the beginning of faith. If I can believe that, then I believe a big fish swallowed Jonah. Miracles happened. Jesus raised the dead. I believe it all. I've got no problem in believing it all when I know He is the absolute creator. But notice the shield. What is the purpose of a shield? And what is the purpose of this faith in the battle? This shield is to guard you. It deflects weaponry. Do you notice that shield? Because it was rounded at the front. If it would have been straight flat, it would have meant the man behind the shield takes the full blow of that attack. When it's rounded, things get deflected. The strength of it. Do you realize faith lessens the impact of the enemy's attack? Do you realize faith in God? It diminishes the weight, the onslaught of the enemy. Whatever the enemy throws at you, it's greatly lessened by faith in God. This shield can stand against anything. Notice that the shield is the first line of defense. If you lose your shield, now your breastplate's going to have to stand and your other armament. But notice, primarily faith is the first line of defense. That's why the devil always undermines. Did God say? Can you trust God? God won't look after you. God doesn't care about blessing you. God won't guide you. God doesn't hear your prayers. What's happening? There's an undermining of faith and confidence in God. I know in whom I believe. I am persuaded that He is able to keep me until that day when I stand His presence. I am absolutely persuaded. What's the devil doing? He's undermining that. Do you know with this shield, the old Roman soldiers, what they would do is often as the enemy advanced against them, they would plant it in the ground and they would stand behind it. That's their defense against the enemy. Remember, this is a defensive battle again that we're involved with. This shield, they would use it like a door to fight behind. Their fight was not going out to meet the enemy. They would fight from behind faith. Never you try to take on the enemy without a faith in God. Never you think that you can handle the enemy unless your trust is in Him. He'll make mincemeat of you. But when my trust is in His everlasting glory, His faithfulness to keep me, His mercy to forgive me, His goodness in helping me. You see, my faith is in Him. And that's what the devil attacks and undermines. But saints, get behind that shield of faith. It's a defense, it's a protection, it's a guard. Now notice we said about the fiery arrows coming against, didn't we? This is what the enemy is firing against your faith. And your faith is the cure for the fiery darts. Do you know those old arrows that the Romans had to contend with? Do you know why they're called fiery darts or fiery arrows? The end of them were literally filled with explosive chemicals. And upon impact, it would burst into flames. That it was a horrendous, it was a combustible material in there. It was the most dangerous weapon of the day. Fiery arrows. But you know, saints, what is the cure for it? Your shield of faith. That's the cure for the fiery darts. It's a terrible weapon, isn't it? That fiery dart, you've lost your salvation. God doesn't hear your prayer. You're Judas. I tell you, those, I have met people, some of the best Christians, and the devil's playing with them, and he says, I think I'm Judas. I'd say, do you want that? Oh no. Does it disturb you? Oh yes. Do you love him? Yes. You're not Judas. I said, the devil's playing games with you. Do you want to go out and live and sin? Oh no. Do you want to be a hypocrite? Oh no. The devil's got you on. He's cutting you on. He's playing a game with you. I tell you, those arrows are real, aren't they? Aren't they? Haven't we all discovered? Well, I need the shield of faith. Do you know you can extinguish them? You can put out the fire and the power of them by faith in God. By faith in God, we can extinguish them. Notice the shield. All through the Bible, God is called our shield. Genesis 15:1, God speaking to Abraham, I am thy shield. Remember all of these we said, they are Christ himself. Put on Christ, put on the armor. We're putting God on. Put God on as your shield. God is your shield. What enemy are you scared of tonight? What fear would torment your mind tonight? What is it the devil would come to you with tonight? I want to tell you, God is your shield. What enemy? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes.
Greater is the God that dwells in you by his Spirit than fills this wicked world of ours. He is greater. We read in Psalm 22 of the shield of salvation. We read in Psalm 91 that truth is your shield. This shield is a shield of faith. And you can extinguish. Notice here it says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench some of the fiery darts. What is it? All. Thank God it's all.
Amen.
Oh, but the devil might have thought up some cunning lie or device or strategy and God hasn't thought a remedy for it. Oh no. Oh no. We are dealing with the cunning devil, but we are dealing with an all-powerful, perfectly wise God. Wherewith? Wherewith what? With this shield of faith. Don't you trust anything else. Don't trust your own strength. Don't put faith in your faith. Don't put faith in your abilities. Put faith in God. This is a real faith in God and his word. Wherewith? Or with this shield of faith, ye shall be able. Do you want the ability to put out every fiery dart? Can I ask you tonight?
Yes.
Do you want the ability? Do you want the know-how? Do you want the power to be able to extinguish every dart of the devil, every lie, every fiery burning dart? What's that fiery arrow for? It's to hit your flesh and to burn into your flesh. How devastating. But here God says, if you take the shield of faith, you will have the ability to quench, what's that? To put out. You put out the fire. That's what faith does. Something that was so dangerous, so daunting, so fearful, suddenly is utterly distinguished. It becomes nothing. It's gone. Where is the fear? It's gone.
Amen.
Where are your enemies? They're gone.
Hallelujah.
Where is the devil? I resisted him and he fled.
Jesus.
What caused you to resist him? Faith in God. Faith in the word. The Bible tells me to resist him. I resisted him and he fled. It worked. It's real. I believe the word. All the fiery darts, saints, with the shield of faith, we can rout the enemy. We can extinguish his attacks. And I want you to know tonight before you leave here, by faith, you can stop his voice, stop his lies, and bring it to naught. Don't entertain the enemy. Job says in chapter 16, 13, he speaks about a spiritual battle and he talks of the archers compassing me round about. Job was going through a horrendous battle. He didn't realize the devil was there. He didn't realize his best friends, so-called believers in God, were his worst critics. Here's an army needs encouragement and they're criticizing them. They're saying, you must have some secret sin. There must be something in your life. You must be proud. The devil is you've done something to bring a curse on yourself. But notice him, he says, the archers compass me about. I feel like I'm surrounded by archers. They're just firing their arrows. What are their arrows? All these words, all these things happening, everything going on. I feel like I'm surrounded by archers. Do you know what that would be like? Surrounded by men just taking pot shots, constantly firing their arrows. Job was there. How did he survive? How did Job come through? Wouldn't most of us have collapsed if we were in that? You lose all your children in one day. We think it's bad about our jobs. All your flocks, all your possessions, everything destroyed. Your house is destroyed. You've lost everything. Then you lose your health. Then your wife says, curse God and die. That would have been enough to break any man, any normal man. How did Job come through? Look at Job 13, 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job had a shield of faith. Everything, hell threw everything at him. Do you know what God said to Satan? Satan says, you let me test him. He'll deny you. He'll curse you. What a challenge. I wonder if the devil is at the throne of God tonight accusing you. I wonder if he's there saying, if you allow me to do this to Gary, he'll pack it in. If you allow me to come with this device against Soph, you say, I've had enough. I wonder if Satan is making that accusation. I wonder if he's there knocking away, challenging our walk with God. That we're so superficial that if something happens, we'll turn on God. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. It was a trust in God bringing him through. What of Luke 22 concerning Peter? Jesus turns to Peter and he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. That means Satan was asking for him. Just give me Peter. Let me sift him and he'll deny you. He'll cast aside his shield of faith. He won't believe in you anymore. Let me do my worst on him. Let me tempt him. Let me draw him to sin against you by denying you to a little girl and cursing with oaths. And he'll pack everything in. Let me condemn him. Let me fill him with guilt. Let me tempt him. Let me sift him. And here's Jesus telling Peter, he says, do you know Satan has come to me and he desires to sift you as wheat to bring you down? Do you know he's here? Wonder why the devil was doing that. Why do you think he was doing that? Do you know what Peter's doing before? Lord, I'll never deny you. All the rest of mine, I'll never deny you. Lord, I'll do anything for you. Lord, I don't know about this bunch, but I know me. I'm your greatest disciple. I'm your most faithful disciple. If there's anyone who's close to Christ, it's me. I'm your best disciple you've got. God, help us. But there he is. Do you know what the devil done? Just let me sift him and we'll see what Peter is. Jesus, let me, this one who says he'll die for you, let me work on him. He says he'll never deny you. Let me work on him. Jesus says, okay. Okay. Do you know why? See, now it's hard. Who's working in this? Is it God? Is it the devil? Is it for good? Is it for evil? What's going on here? The arrows are flying in. Jesus says, okay, you can do that. But I have prayed for thee, Peter, that your faith fail not. That your faith fail not. Do you know what he said to Job? To Satan about Job. He says, okay, you can test him. But don't you kill him. You can do anything. Don't you kill him. He's mine. I'm putting a restraint on you. And he done it with Peter. Do you know what? He says, you can sift him all right. By your sifting, you're going to reveal to him that he's not as strong as he thought. He's going to realize his confidence, his faith was more in his own strength than the strength of Christ. His eyes were more on his own resilience and his own ability than the ability of Christ in him. But you know, through this, yes, hell might sift him. And he might stumble in the midst of it, but he's going to come forth with a greater faith, a faith in God. A shield of faith will extinguish the fiery darts. That's what's going to happen. But you know what? You can sift him, you can try him, you can test him, you can even cause him to stumble. But I have prayed for him. Since Christ prays for us day by day. And do you know what he's praying? He's not praying that you just don't fail, though that's good. You know he's praying? Now that faith won't fail. That faith will be in God. And you know why? Because it will extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. Let's stand here tonight. Since we've been given a wonderful gift. The gift of faith. Faith in God. You know, I'm not trying to work up a persuasion. Well, I believe God has done something and God is there and God hears me. I know that, saints. I've got a faith. I'm fully persuaded, absolutely confident. And saints, that takes the full full spectrum of small, delicate faith to very strong God-glorious faith. We're talking about the full spectrum of faith. This is a faith that will come through the trials. This is the faith that will still be standing after hell throws everything at you. We're talking about a faith that will come forth stronger. A faith that will extinguish the fiery darts. Since you have been given the shield of faith, take it to you tonight. Will you do that? Will you take the shield of faith? But you know something greater? And let me finish with this. Do you know the Roman army, as the enemy advanced upon the Roman soldiers, do you know what they actually done? They closed ranks together. They didn't just spread out and say, every man for himself, let's fight through. And you can get that in the church. But it's not every man for himself in this church. It won't be if we can help it by God's grace. Do you know what the Roman soldiers do? The enemy comes advanced, they close ranks. And they take up a formation called the tortoise. Do you know what they do? The ones at the front and the ones at the side, they put that big shield up and they brace themselves behind it. Do you know the ones in the middle? They put it on top. And you know what? All the arrows can hail in upon them. It bounces off. This is us uniting together in faith against the enemy. This is a church pulling together. If one can chase 1,000, 2... it multiplies, not 2,000. 10,000. Talking about an enemy. If I can resist 1,000, well, you stand with me, we'll resist 10,000. Saints, that's the church of God. Let's form a tortoise.
Amen.
I tell you, your faith, you guard the left. You guard the right. I'll guard above. Let us have faith together for the extinguishing of every fiery dart. You know what? God help us, we're going through, aren't we? Yes. God help us, we're going to pray one another through. God help us, I'm going to believe God for you. Well, he's no stronger than I am, but God's kept me this far. I'm just going to believe for everyone else to come through. Yes. Saints, oh, what a faith that God has put in our heart tonight. Father, we thank you for this faith of the Son of God, this gift of faith. Lord God, that we're not being tormented by doubts and fears and unbelief. My God, we've got a confidence in our God. Him that began a good work within us shall finish it. Him that's the author of our faith is the finisher of our faith. Our trust is in Christ. Our trust is in the blood of the Lamb. Our faith and our confidence is in the everlasting God, even tonight. Lord God, will you unite us, O God? Will you cause us to close ranks in these days, to have a united faith, to be one in unity of faith? My God, resisting the enemy. Lord God, standing for the blessing of God in this church and in this city. Lord God, we want to see an extinguishing of the fiery darts of the evil one tonight. In the name of Jesus.